Okay, what did you want me to look at?
I actually just figured out, if you can't get to work. I was expecting something more to happen.
Yeah, right.
But now I see what it's doing, it's asking for the ID then.
I was gonna actually start out looking at that anyway, just because, we had the problem of too many people couldn't get logged in and all the rest. Okay, so I'm going to introduction to PLSQL, going then to if statements, and then going back to introduction in a minute. So, this is the structure, the block structure, that is used when you write PLSQL. And it has four components. The declare is optional, and that's where you set things up, do housekeeping basically. If you're using curses, which we will get into, that's where you put the curses in and all of that. The begin is required, that's where you actually do stuff. And so that's a required. Exceptional is optional, exception rather is optional. That's where you handle errors. And if you decide you don't want to handle errors, then it's optional. And the end statement is required. Okay. Okay. I'm going to have to go in and get that. So now I can take a picture. Okay, so what I want to do is go and look at the if statement handout, which really implements that, and then we will go back and look at the rest of that handout. Or some of the rest of it. So there's the if statement. So I started out by creating donor new. And the reason I did that is I'm going to make changes to the table, and I didn't want to mess up donor. So I made a copy of it and called it donor new. Create table donor new as select asterisks from donor. Okay, so that's an entire table. Okay, then I came down, and like with any script, and this is basically a script, I start out and I say edit, and I give it the name that I want to edit. So I give it a name. Okay, if I just say edit, it edits what's in the buffer. So when I go in there to edit because I made a mistake in a select statement, I don't give it a name, I just go in and edit, and it edit whatever's in the buffer. But if I want to edit something in specific, I give it a name. So I said edit donor zero, okay? Then once I get into the editor, this PLSQL code is what I type once I'm in the editor. Okay, so I've said go in and edit, and then I type this. And what we did last time is I told you to just kind of copy and paste it in there and make sure that everything worked. And when you're done and you come back to the prompt, you can enter either a start donor zero or an @ donor zero, which will execute it. So one of those two things will execute. Okay, so now what we're doing is we have to only work with individual records right now because we haven't learned about curses. And curses are the key to handling multiple records. So, what I wanted to do in this one is take in a specific ID and use that ID so that I'm only handling one record. So I started out by saying set verify off. When I'm all done, I said set verify on. And that's the old new stuff that comes up, and I just didn't want that, so I set verify off. Then I declared a couple of variables. And so in the declare section, I'm using the declare section, which again is optional, but I'm using it. And I usually do.
I mean, they're very rare circumstances where you don't want to deal with some data, so.
I'm going to do that. So I set up a V_ID number, and I gave it a VARE CARE 2 of 5, and I said, that is going to be assigned. And remember, the colon equal means assigned here. So I'm assigning it, and I put the ampersand input ID number, which means that it prompts the user. That ampersand we looked at before, and the ampersand means it prompts the user. Okay, so when I execute this, the user will get prompted to enter an ID number, and the ID number they enter is going to be stored in the ID number. Then I also set up a place to put the year goal, and I made it number the 7 with 2 decimal places. So I've got those two variables set up. Then I drop down to my begin. And again, PLSQL is an Oracle language, and it is using SQL whenever it can. Okay, so I'm coming here and saying, I want to get the year goal for whatever ID number I entered over here. So I'm saying select year goal into the year goal, means it will go into my declared variable, from donor new, where the ID number is equal to the VID number that I typed in. Because whatever I typed in, I put into VID number. So that limits me to that one bracket. Then I said, okay, if the year goal is greater than 250, then do a calculation and assign it back to the year goal. Okay, so again, colon equal means assign. So I'm assigning it back to year goal. Okay, now notice the use of semicolons. At the end of the select, I have my traditional semicolon. The if does not have a semicolon at the end of the if line because I'm not done. The if isn't done until I put in the end if, and that's where I put the semicolon. But the stuff inside the if, each line gets its own semicolon because that line is complete. The if isn't complete, but that line is complete. So it gets the semicolon. So I went in, and if the year goal was greater than 250, then I multiplied it. I upped it by 10%. So I multiplied it by 1.1 to up it by 10%. And then I have an end if. Then I said, okay, now I'm going to do an update. And so I am going to set the year goal on donor new equal to this new calculation that I did, if I did a new calculation. If not, I will set it equal to what it was before. And then I said, where ID number equals VID number. So the update is only done for that one record. Now I could have taken this update and put it inside the if, because what I'm doing here is, if the change makes is made, I'm actually changing the goal. But if there wasn't any change, I'm just putting what was there back in. So why bother? I could have taken the update and put it into the if statement as well, so that the update was only done if year goal is greater than 250. Okay? It doesn't really matter, but I could have made that either way. Okay. And it probably saves a few nanoseconds because then I don't do the update as often. Okay. Then I commit it, I end, and that's a requirement that I have to have the end with the colon after it. And then just because if you set something, change something here, you should change it back. So I just set verify on to change it back. Okay. Questions so far? Okay, so now when I run that, I come down here and I entered the value, or when I ran that, the first thing it did was I said @donorzero. It came back and said enter the value for the input ID number, and I entered, okay, there's input ID number, that's where I got that name. I entered 12121, okay? It came back and told me the procedure was successfully completed, okay? But nothing else happened because I didn't tell it to do anything else. I told it to do an update. And to check an update, I then have to go into the file and say, okay, show me donor new. I look at 12121, and indeed that used to be 400, it's now 440. So it was increased by 10%. Okay, because it was 400 and now it's 440. So it upped it. Yeah.
If you wanted it to display, would you put it in?
Yeah, we'll get there in a minute.
All right.
There's a DBMS da 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 line that you can use to display it. Okay. Actually, we'll get to that when we get, I don't know that I do it in any of the if statements, so we may wait until I get back, but we'll get to it today. And that line is one of those copy and paste lines. If you ask me to tell you what's in that line, it's this underscore this dot this underscore this. Okay? Not going to happen. I have it pasted up above my computer. Okay, then I reran it with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 was not greater than 250. It was 50, and so no change was made. So I did it with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It brought in the 50. 50 wasn't greater than 250, so it didn't get changed, and it just put the original back. Okay, the next thing I did was I added an else to this. So now I have got the else clause in there, and I'm saying else, give it a 5% raise. So if your goal is greater than 250, up it by 10%, otherwise up it by 5%. So I have the else in there that will make that, okay? So that's how I code an else. Notice there's a colon after both of the embedded things, and there's a colon after the endif when the endif is complete. Okay, but there's no colon after the if or the then.
And I know this, but the reason why the first if line doesn't have colons is because that's all one statement. You could have just ran that all the way across, right?
You could have run it all the way. I think it lets you. Yeah, huh? Yeah, this is, I mean, traditionally you put them on separate lines, you indent and do all that again for people because it makes it more readable. So on this one, I came down in the 3, 4, 6, 7. This time, when I entered the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I originally had the 50. Now it's increased it by the 5%, so I have the 52.5. Okay, I should not have put, when I wrote this, and I keep meaning to fix it, I should have had a space in there. Because if else is not a command, it will actually see what is the equivalent of if else. This should have said if the if and the else, because they're separate. Okay. So, anyway, I'm doing the same thing here, but now I am saying when I get down, if vehicle is greater than 300, then I am multiplying by 1.3. Else, if it's greater than 200, I'm multiplying by 1.2. Else, I'm multiplying by 1.1. And if none of those, then I am multiplying by 1.05. So I've got a, if it's greater than 300, then I am multiplying by 1.3 times. If no, then I'm asking, is it greater than 200? And if it is, I'm multiplying by 1.2. If not, I'm asking about greater than 100. If it's true, I'm multiplying by 1.1. If it's not, I'm multiplying by 1.05. And there are my three end ifs, all at the bottom. So those are my three end ifs that go with the logic. Okay? So I've got, if it's greater than 300, multiply by 1.3. Else. Okay, so this is a series of ors. It's either greater than 300 or 200 or 100. And if it's not greater than any of those, the default is I'm multiplying by 1.05. Okay. So that's a very standard if-else like you see in any language. But that's not something you could do with plain SQL. Okay, and that's why PLSQL gives you more power, because it lets you do this kind of thing. I could do, I just can't do anything where I'm asking if do this, if do that. I've got to do separate selects if I want to have different criteria and that sort of thing. So I have SQL as the select, I have SQL as the update, but in between is the if statement that is a PLSQL statement. Okay. Actually, I kind of leave that there for a minute. No, it's not the same, so I'll take it away. Okay, so now I come to what I said was the else if. Okay, and notice there's no E on else. E-L-S-I-F. Okay, is an else if. And this is the case structure. So I'm now saying if vehicle is greater than 100, do this. Else if. Vehicle is greater than 250, do this. And then the else at the bottom is the catch-all. So I'm saying if it's less than 100, then I'm using 1.1. Else, if it's less than 250, I'm doing the 1.2. Else, I'm doing a 1.3. And notice with this one, I only have one end if. I'm ending the major end if. With the case structure, I don't have all of the end ifs. Okay, I just have one end if, and I have the else if. The else if does not require an end if.
Can you add more else's to that, or is that?
Sure, you can add as many else ifs if you want. No more else's. but else ifs.
Oh, so like if I wanted to do something else, it'd just be another else if?
That's right. I can add another else if, but the else at the bottom is the if all else failed, this is what I want to do.
All right.
So the else at the bottom is the if nothing else, if it didn't meet any of the other criteria, then I will do the else. Okay, but I can have as many else ifs as I want. Now on this one, and I don't think I did them on the other one, I'm going to go back and look in a minute. I have B year goal. So in this one, I did the calculation and signed it to new goal. That would, you know, just an alternative way. I didn't change goal. I assigned something to new goal. And so when I did the update, I said change the year goal to be the new goal. Six of one, half dozen of another, but that's the way I did it on this one. Okay, so I have a variable set up there for new goal, and my calculation goes into new goal. And there's nothing having to do with the else if that made me do that, it's just an alternative. This could have been the year goal, the year goal. Okay.
Is one better than the other?
I don't think so. I mean, the advantage of doing a new one is you have both of them available. So if you are writing something out and you want to see the old and the new, you've got them both. If you make the change to the original, then you don't have the original. That's really the only difference. Okay, now I want to go back and see if I did that in the other one because I'm just curious. No, I changed year goal there. I didn't have new year goal. So new year goal popped up on this one. Okay, this is one of the neatest things about this. Is I can, instead of giving a big hair or a number of I can say, go to the database, or a database, look for the ID number and take its type. And the reason that's so neat is if I go back to the database and I change something from 5 characters to 6 characters, then this is automatically set up to hold the 6 characters. Okay, so it automatically makes that adjustment in anything where I am using. So if I make a change to donor new and up something to 6 characters or decrease it or whatever I do, that's a number that is going to be used here as opposed to a fixed number. You know, when I write VairCare 2.5, I've only got 5 characters. If I change it to 6, I got to go into all my scripts and change it up to 6. But if I do it this way, that change gets made automatically. And I think that's just one of the really neat and helpful things on this, to get that. And you write it as file name, or table name rather, dot field name.
And then the ampersand, percent sign type.
So as I said, I think that is just a really neat thing to have. Okay, so that's the if statements. So now I want to go back to introduction to PLSQL. And at this point, why don't you bring it up and let's play with some of the stuff in here. Thank you.
Okay, this first one is just sending up a message and putting it out.
Okay, so if I go in and I start out and I set it, edit AFST intro. And you want to create a new file. Okay, so this is, okay, that didn't work. Where did that go to? There it is. Okay, so when it came up with this, which is cannot find it, do you want to create a new file? Okay, so I'm going to say yes. And then I'm going to type in here, declare and I'm going to put in the message is a VARE-CARE 2 for 25. And then I've got to begin. And I said the message will now be assigned the message this PL SQL block works. Okay. And then I've got an end. So I'm now going to save this. So I do a file save, file exit after I take a picture. File exit. And now I come out and I run it. Whoops. And it unable, yeah, that's because I put that in, sorry. Missing double quotes in identifier. So what did I do wrong? Yeah. Actually, I want single quotes, so I'm going to go with single quotes.
Does it matter if it's single or double?
We'll try it in a minute.
Okay.
Okay, so @ AFST intro. And it comes back and tells me procedure was successfully completed, but doesn't do anything that I can see. I always use single quotes. I'm not positive whether it does handle double quotes there. Or maybe I just think I always use single quotes. So we'll change it to a double and see if that works. Nope. It wanted it in single, it wants it in single quotes. So that must be why I always use single quotes. Yeah, PLSQL doesn't let you have double quotes for much of anything, just like SQL doesn't. Okay, so now if you go down And what you have to do, if you would like to be able to, this is almost a buggy thing. It displays output on the screen. So you set server output on, meaning that I can get server output. So I say set server output on. Then I add the line that says CDNS output dot put line. That's the one, as I said, if you ever ask me to tell you what that is, I will tell you I do not know. Okay, so I'm going to go in and edit AFST intro. And I'm going to put a line up here that says set server output on. And I'm going to then set it back off when I get down here. So set server output off. And then in the middle of it, I'm going to put DBMS output dot put line. Whatever. And then I wrote the output is and put message out there. V message. And then if I run this, I now get my message. Okay. So there is the DBMS line created, that line right there. I put a literal that said the output is, and then I put the content of the message. Apparently, in this one, on yours, I called it V message one, but I didn't change it on mine. So it's still V message. Okay. So it worked and it ran. So this is the thing that I could have gone back over to the if statement one and add it in if I wanted to see the result. Okay? So if I go back over to the if statement and well, let's take the simple one actually. I took more on if statements. I should have gone there. So this is the code. And I think I actually already have it, but we'll see. So I'm going to say edit donor zero. And apparently I don't have it here. Do you want to create the file? Yes. And there it is, okay? So now I can go in and do the set server output on, and down here, set server output off. And in here, or after the update, doesn't matter which, DBMS output put line. Somebody check me and see if I got it right. DBMS output output line? Is anybody checking up on me? Please do. I'll bring that up and that will show me. Yes, I remembered it actually. Okay. And then I'm gonna put in here, okay, so I've now put in here DBMS output put line. I put the literal new goal and concatenated it with the year goal. Okay, so now if I go back and I say, I guess I didn't exit this, file save, file exit, and I come back and I say @ donor 0, enter value for the input 12121, and it now tells me that the new goal is 532.4. I've been playing with this, so who knows whether that's the right answer or not. And then it comes back and tells me the procedures were successfully created. Okay, so by putting the DBMS line in, I got this. Here I can write yes. Okay. So this was the DBMS line. They got that. Okay. So anytime you want reassurance while you're writing a program, I put these in. What you don't want in the real world is 100,000 records all coming up with a line of output to show you that it's working. You just want it to go in, do the thing, and do the update, and not see this miles of stuff. So that's why this is not widely used in a program that's in production, but it's very heavily used if you're testing. Test the program and go ahead, and then when it's done, you can remove this and okay. we got lots of
Do you have a problem at home though?
No.
Did you get your problem fixed? Yes, Erica begged you. Okay. Yep.
Okay, so everybody's good?
Here's your chance to tell them if you're having a problem.
You
speak now.
In the room here.
All right. Okay, so that gives you the output, okay? So now we're gonna go back over, and they do a lot of stuff in here that is kind of interesting, but those are the things that you mainly do. Okay, on this one, they set the variable outside. So they set the variable before they went in to the editor to write the PLSQL. So at the SQL prompt, they said variable vMessage, and they told it that it was a VARCHAR2 of 25 characters. So I set it prior to going in. Then I go in and do this, and at that point, to begin, is the first and only thing because I don't have to declare anything because I declared it outside.
Notice the colon in front of the message. That's because you declared it outside. Okay? Notice the colon V message inside the block. This is necessary because V message is declared externally. So when it's declared externally, I have to put that colon in. Okay, so then I can go ahead and run it, and then I can say, back to the SQL prompt, again, outside, I can say print V message. Okay?
The advantage of this is vMessage is now available for other things that you do, not just this.
For me, the disadvantage is that it's separate actions. And I like everything. If I'm going to have somebody run a script, I don't want to say before you run the script, you have to do this. And after you run the script, you have to do this. I want it all within the script. So to me, this is not a terribly effective way of doing it, but there might be times when I do want it to have it and then have it usable in another script that I wanted, and that, you know, this allows me that.
So go ahead and try this one. So I'm going to out here say variable. V message, I'm going to call it V message with two G's or something, just to make sure that it's different. So I've got a message with two G's and a var care 2 for 25. Okay. And now I'm going to say edit B first. Intro. It can't exist. Do you want to create a file? Yes. And I've got the colon V message with two G's. Wait a minute, I forgot to write begin. And now I've got the colon with V message with two G's. I'm assigning it to it. This PL SQL still works. And then I'm ending it and putting the slash in and saying file save. File exit. I'm coming back and I am running @ B first intro. And it tells me it was successfully completed. And now I can say print V message with two G's and it prints the message. So once I define it externally, then I can do this print, which can print externally. And then they get into putting this inside the code, okay? But it's not inside the block. And to me, this is a better way of doing it because it is still contained in the code, okay? So we're going to go in and try that. So I'm going to say edit, and I guess I call that first intro. And so up here, I'm saying variable V message X, I guess. V their care to for 25. And then I go down to my begin, and I declare it externally, so I've got V message X, the assignment sign, this PL SQL works again. End slash and then print B message X. So now I'm saving it and I will exit and I'm going to say @ whatever I call that first intro, and it worked. And to me, that's the better one because it avoids my problem of I don't want to have things outside my block. When I say run it, I want everything inside the block. Okay, so if you're going to use this, set the variable externally, and then you can print. I would do it this way, which is inside the block. I still tend to use the BBMS more. That tends to be the way I do it. Okay. Now, if you go down, it shows you how you can put in comments to document what you're doing. And the comments, if you want it on a single line, you can just put minus sign, or dash, dash, and then put it on. If you want a whole bunch of comments, you do it with a slash asterisk, and then an asterisk slash at the end. Okay. So those are comments that you can put inside your program to document the program. And this is just a simple one that I did
where I said I've got a BID and I use the donor new ID number, name, equals, give it a type. And then I said select ID number, name, equals into those variables where the ID equals, and I hard coded what I wanted the ID to be in there. As opposed to taking it in, so this time I had coded. Not the way I would do it ordinarily. I think it's better to have the user be able to enter it in. So I would not ordinarily had coded this, but I did on this one. And then I said BBMS output line, show the BID concatenated with some spaces, concatenated with the name, concatenated with some spaces, concatenated with the equals. Just so that I can set it up and have it look reasonable, and there is the result.
And then this is just another way of doing it. Where I took something in, and this time, instead of doing the take-in up here, next to the declare, the take-in is down below in the begin. And there's no particular why one way or the other would be fine. But in this one, I didn't, in the first one that we looked at over with the if statement, this line where I did the take-in, was up in the declare. This one is in the begin. So the only purpose here is to show you that it can be in the begin, it doesn't have to be in the declare. Okay? So when I put in the begin and I run it, it comes back and asks me for the number. I give it to me. Since I didn't set verify off, I am getting that old new stuff. If you don't want the old new, then you have to set verify off. Okay? This one doesn't have the set verify off, so I'm getting the old and the new. Okay, so this is just an alternate way of doing it. And a third alternative is you can put it down and ask for the input at the time you're doing the comparison in the FOIA. Okay, so I've got three different places that I've set up that I could do that. One was that I did it up here. One was I did it right at the beginning of the begin. Another one is I did it here. And with this one, I used the accept, which gave a prompt that said actually enter the identification number. Okay. So accept input ID number, and that's the one, that's when I executed the input ID number to compare.
Actually, I'm curious. This is not the way I usually do it. I'm going to take this and run it. So I'm going to say edit second to intro. And I'm going to paste that in. And I'm curious if I take out this accept. File, save, file, exit. Yeah. So the accept was not required. Okay. Which I didn't think it was. It just gave me a different prompt.
Okay, and I was pretty sure about that, but then I all of a sudden said I'm not 100% positive, so we will try it.
So if you look at this and then go back in to what I did, which was edit second to dot intro. Okay, I took out the accept and it worked just fine. The accept, what the accept did for me was that it gave me a prompt that I wanted as opposed to giving me the prompt.
And the prompt worked fine because the field had a decent name. But if I had called the field, field one, then it would say enter the value for field one, and who knows what the value for field one is. Since I gave the field the name input ID number, then it's pretty clear when the thing comes up and says enter value for input ID number, what I should enter. And the accept just gave me a better prompt even.
Okay, nesting blocks, I'm going to quit at because I don't want to get into those yet. So
So we're going to go back and look at more on PLSQL if statements. Okay.
I told you these notes are set up in the order that they were when I took the Oracle course, and in retrospect,
I'm not so sure I like some of the order. Okay, this is a more complicated if-else, and it just goes through and does does the logic for this.
So I start out, and I'm asking the question, is the state equal to Massachusetts? And if it is equal to Massachusetts, then I'm asking, is the year goal greater than 300? And if it is, I'm doing a calculation over 1.3. Else, I am asking if it is greater than 100, and if it is, I'm doing it with the 1.2. Else, I'm asking nothing. I'm asking for the 1.1. Then I've got an end if here. And then I've got an end if here. So those are my two end ifs. Then I have an else, which comes back to here and asks about Rhode Island. And if it is Rhode Island, then I am asking greater than 250, and I didn't lay this out very well. And so I've got 1.25 here and 1.15 here. And I am ending that. And then I have another else, which goes with the Rhode Island, which is basically make it the same. And then I have got an end if that ends that, and another end if that ends that. I think I got it. Does anybody see a flaw?
So that's what that one is set up to do. Okay. And on this one, I took in the input up in the player.
And so I got one particular record. And again, why we're doing this with one particular record at the beginning is mainly because I don't want to get into cursive yet, but also it gives us a chance to see how this statements are set up and how loops are set up and all that, and then we'll get into the curses.
Okay, questions?
Should I make you do the flow chart?
Okay, then we come down and the if statement has compounds. So this one says, if your goal is greater than 250 and state is mass, do the 1.1, otherwise do the 1.2. Okay, so both of these have to be true. And this is an and relationship. Okay. So both of those have to be true. Then the next one has an or relationship, so one or the other has to be true. So basically I've got two conditions.
I've got the greater than 250, and I've got the state equal mass. Okay. And when you've got two conditions, basically, if they're both true, if I get a yes to both of them, then the and kicks in. If I get a yes, no, no, yes, no, no, then these are all the else of the and. Right? If I'm doing it with an or, okay, yes, yes is okay, yes, no is okay, no, yes is okay, this gets me the else on the or. Okay, so the else on the or only comes if they're both not true. If you've got two conditions, there are four possibilities. Yes, 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 no, no, yes, no, no. Okay? If you get a yes, yes, then it is the and. Anything else is an else to the and. If you get the or, all you need is one y. If you get two, don't get one y, then it is the else of the or. So, you know, this is just another way of looking at the logic of something. You can do a flowchart, you can do a pseudocode. If you write the yes-nos, that also is another way of looking at the logic. When there's two, there are just the four possibilities. Okay. Then this one comes in with, okay, so what is this one?
Saying, what is the if statement saying there?
If it equals mass and your goal is less than 100 or being first.
Right. So what has to be true?
The and.
Mass.
The mass has to be true. Okay, so the mass has to be true on one of the others. Okay, now,
if you look at without the parenthesis, then what does it do for you?
Mass and vehicle has to match or be first test.
That's right. You gotta have ands get resolved before ors. So that means these two or just that one without the parentheses. So the parentheses are key to making this whole thing work. If you want one thing to have to be true and either of two others, then you need to have the parentheses. And apparently everybody's been around long enough to be comfortable with that. Okay, this is the null operator, which means it's empty.
So on this one, I said, if the state is Rhode Island, if the goal is still less than 100, or the goal is null. So empty, an empty field is null. So I am going to catch the null.
And Carl Hershey was the one that used to be the null, and so now he's 100.
Okay? Because they caught the null. And again, I'm only doing this for one record. The one record that gets typed in, I typed in the 222, which looked at him, and that gave me the 100, because I'm only looking at one record.
Okay. Is anybody here in there? But luckily, the other one's still working.